Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Yes, we hope you made it through the holiday season with a minimum of car accidents and are ready to join us for an awesome trip through Bigfoot Country. Well, not exclusively, but you know.
I suppose not.
No, not exclusively, but you know, I mean, yeah. One of them might not have been a Bigfoot. It's hard
to tell. I'm pretty sure it's actually not.
Yeah, there's a really good reason to believe it's not. But anyway, we'll get there. First, we have some random crap to deal with. I understand you read a book?
I read two, in fact.
What the? Yeah. You are having, I mean, I'm sorry, that is just crazy that you would read two books over the holidays.
Well, I read them really quickly, which is nice. Unlike me. I'm usually a pretty slow reader.
Yeah.
But, so I got this book from the library called The Call.
Okay.
And it was like this YA fantasy thing. And then when I finished it, I found out that there was a sequel. So then I read that. So.
Nice.
The sequel's okay, but I really enjoyed The Call.
Okay.
And it's set in Ireland.
It's unclear. It's about a banshee?
Exactly. When it's not about a banshee.
No, it's just you said The Call. Anyway.
The banshees scream.
Oh, right. You got me. You're not sure exactly when it's set, but sometime in the past.
No.
Oh, sometime in the present.
I don't know, because Ireland has been cut off from the rest of the world for 25 years. These 25 years, I guess.
Wow.
Because the fairies, whoever right. you want to call them, they have sealed Ireland off from the rest of the world. Because they want to claim it as their own. It was theirs a long, super long time ago. And then like the ancestors of the Irish drove them out into this place called the Greyland. And so now the Sidhe will essentially kidnap people from Ireland and they'll wake up in the Greyland. And if they survive what amounts to about a day in the Greyland, then they go, well, they always get sent back to Ireland, alive or dead, but the goal is to survive.
Oh, okay.
So the book is sort of about that and this one particular girl who's 14 and she's getting ready for when she's called. Because nice. That's what they call it when you disappear.
The calling, sure. Yeah.
What's essentially 3 minutes in the real world.
Ah.
So it's about that.
That sounds good. Really awesome.
Yeah, it's good. And so it's YA, but I'm like, oh man, this is like pretty messed up.
No.
Like lots of weird monsters. And when you're called, you wake up naked.
Oh.
So yeah, that's always a thing present in the back of your mind. This is a naked kid running around in an alien land where everything Wait. Wants to kill it.
She doesn't beat up a monster and steal its clothes.
There's no time for that.
Oh, damn. Just a lot of running away from monsters is all she's got time for.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, that sounds pretty boss, actually. It sounds like a very thrilling premise. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And it was apparently so popular that he had to write a sequel.
Ooh.
And, which is still pretty good.
Oh, okay. So you've already you've gotten all the way through the sequel and not as good as the first one, but worth doing, worth for people who like the first one?
Well, yeah, because it finishes the story.
Oh, cliffhangers. I do respect
When he ended the first book, I don't know if he intended for there to be more, because it's just really the story of this girl and her friends.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily like the whole story of the whole, you know, Toto of the Calling.
The first book?
The first book, yeah. It was never meant
it's
to.
Not the Calling, it's the Call. Nobody the calls call, it the sorry. Calling.
Excuse me. But yeah, so it was never intended to be like the complete story this one time.
I don't think so. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But just reading the acknowledgements, it sounded like he was encouraged to write a sequel.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just feel like a cash grab?
No, because there's more bigger story told in the second book.
Okay. Well, that sounds very interesting, and is it the kind of thing that they're probably going to option into a movie, or is the nudity going to keep that from happening?
Well, given the monsters, the weird deformities, and the nudity, I mean, You could just have them clothed. Their clothes can go with them into the Greyland. But there's, like, a lot of mutation, a lot of gross monsters, and...
stuff that would be difficult to realize.
Well, not difficult to realize, but difficult for a PG-13 rating.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're looking for a, if you're looking for a deeply creepy Irish folktale horror YA novel, it sounds like this is the one for you.
Yeah.
And is this the only two books he's written, or is he like, an established author?
I don't know.
No. But you might have checked. Not a problem.
I didn't check.
I didn't research it.
Not at all. Okay.
Next up, I played a video game that I think everyone should check out. I've been very open in the past about my love of the Yakuza franchise. Mm-hmm. And, when that ended 2 years ago, there was a big question about what are they going to do next? And the answer is two different games. One, Yakuza 7, which is going to have a new main character. And it's going to get rid of all of the real-time combat that the game is famous for and try something completely different with that. That's not out yet. I'm still very worried about them giving up brawling for turn-based combat. But at the same time, they're doing a new series called Judgment about a private detective who lives in the same town and is striving to solve a Yakuza conspiracy and has all of the real-time combat we've come to know and love.
Okay.
So yeah, check out Judgment. I finally got around to playing it this New Year's, and it's a really great ride. Wonderfully violent, intriguing plot, good characters as always, just really thumbs up, and the detective stuff they do of actually having you, you know, look at photographs and try to figure out what pieces of evidence are relevant and then presenting them to them later in the way you might in a Phoenix Wright game. It's all very well handled, and it makes you feel like they're taking the mystery stuff just as seriously as they're taking the combat. So, thumbs up to Judgment.
Oh, okay.
Also, I went to see Richard Jewell.
Oh, it's good, eh?
It's a good movie!
Yeah, I saw it on Christmas.
Nice. So you enjoyed it too?
I did, very much. Yeah,
I think that's a really good movie. And, I just wanted to say thumbs up to that, and especially thumbs up to the guy who played Richard Jewell.
Oh, he's so good.
He's so good. And I loved him so much in I, Tonya.
I've not seen that.
Oh, you haven't seen I, Tonya? Okay, well, you should see I, Tonya at some point. But I swear to God what happened was that, like, they couldn't cast Richard Jewell for ages. They've been trying to make this for a while. And for a year, Jonah Hill was attached to play Richard Jewell. But that never worked out. He didn't really want to do it. But he still listed as a producer, because that's what happens. If you get offered a part in Hollywood, they like, you get a paycheck whether you do the job or not.
I guess it probably depends on how big you are.
No, it is. It's once you've reached a certain level of celebrity, and this is a true fact. Once you've reached a certain level of celebrity, your people will not, like, let you read a script unless there is a cash money job offer for you to do that movie.
So your people get paid.
Well, no, you get paid too, but yes.
Yeah, but so do your people. And I would argue they're looking out for themselves.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm not saying this is altruism on their part, but that is that.
The best for you.
Yeah. But that is why Jonah Hill, right, got a paycheck for not being in this movie. And it's why The Rock got a paycheck for not being in Captain Marvel. Cause during Captain Marvel's endless development, they were like, maybe we get The Rock in to play Black Adam. And so he had to get him to say yes to that. They had to give him a paycheck. And he's not in the movie, but he still gets a paycheck and a producer credit. And that is what happened with Jonah Hill and Richard Jewell. And I remember, like, finding out about this movie last year, or the beginning of the year, right? I only found out about it. Like, I wonder who's going to play Richard Jewell. And I find out it's the guy from it's Sean from I, Tonya. And I'm like, that's perfect casting. And I swear to God, what must have happened was they were searching forever to find their Richard Jewell, and then somebody saw I, Tonya and was just like, yep, we got him.
That guy.
That's him. He is last billed, and he's the movie is named after him, and he is last billed.
No, it's a fantastic movie. I didn't know anything about the story. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, It's hard to watch. I found it hard to watch sometimes though.
Oh, it's so brutal.
Because you just like want to reach through the screen and shake him. Shut up!
Stop doing this to yourself!
Stop talking!
I know. His and poor lawyer.
I really hated John Hamm so
much. Oh, he's such
much.
A monster!
What an asshole!
Oh,
holy
God,
shit.
Yeah. Such a great performance though. Like, such a great performance.
Made me hate him! Yeah.
He's so terrible in this. Oh. And yeah, it's just, my favorite is that essentially is in the same way that I've spent years attacking profiling, I could just now show people this movie. It's like, yep. Well, they just said, this guy seems like the type. He's a fat loser.
Right. Lives with his mom.
We better ruin his life.
But I like the lines like, why do you have so many guns? He's like, well, this is Georgia. Like, all right. Can't fight that logic.
Nope. Sam Rockwell's just like, okay, fine by me. Oh, no, but I loved it. I thought it was a great ride, and I don't know if it's going to get any, like, awards attention, but I think everybody in it is great, and I think, like, I have a couple of misgivings about, you know, places where it departed from the real case, blah, 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 because I read the article in the book, well, one of the books, not the book it was based on, but another book about him. So I know they took a couple of things, but by and large, it is really good with the facts, and it is fantastic. So I recommend this to anybody who wants to be really angry for a little while at the movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Righteous anger. It's my main takeaway from that one. But yeah, really good ride, Richard Jewell. Thumbs up. Next up, we have...
this.
Ooh, what of?
Okay, well, seeing how this is our first episode of the new year, and it's a new decade, depending on how you count, I have a list of the 30...
By what she means is, if you count wrong, it's a new decade.
The 30 greatest horror movies of the 2010s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so this list is long.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our best to just power through it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like we have anything more to say about Hereditary. Anything we covered on the show, we can just move on.
Yeah. All so right, we are, this list is enumerated and we're counting up to 30.
Okay. So that numbers might not mean anything. Go for it.
All right. Number one, Under the Skin.
That's a really good movie.
I have not seen it.
It's really good. Creepy, weird, very like haunting imagery.
It
doesn't make a ton of sense.
Theory that people think it's amazing because they don't understand it.
I'm not going to claim I completely understood it. I just think it's like visual splendor and deeply like eerie and troubling. I'm not going to claim I understood exactly what was going on, but I do think it's a really good looking movie that's creepy as hell.
Okay.
Go.
Number two, The Babadook.
Yeah, well, obviously. Come on.
Yeah. All right.
Babadook's great.
Number three, It Follows.
Oh, well, yeah. We're more about It Follows.
No, I thought it was creepy.
It is creepy. I didn't love It Follows the way a ton of people loved It Follows. But again, we did a whole show about that, so we're not going to waste your time. You can check in on our comments on that elsewhere.
Number four, What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, one of my favorite movies of the past 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an incredible movie. Love it.
Number five, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
I still haven't seen it.
Neither have really I. I have expressed my opinions about this movie, and I'm not going to repeat them.
Okay.
So if you want to know what I think, go dig through the archive and find out. I'm going to sometime around 2014, because that's when it came out.
Okay.
Number six, The Wailing.
What's The Wailing?
This is a Korean movie. We really liked it.
Oh, that! Oh, I just didn't remember the title. Yes, of course.
Great movie.
That thing's amazing. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's incredible.
It's a bit of a challenge, but it's worth it.
It's a rough ride, but oh God, is that
great movie.
What an ending too.
Yeah. So good.
All right.
Number seven, Train to Busan.
Oh yeah. No, just a perfect zombie movie in every way. Yeah.
Yep. Number eight, Raw, which I don't think.
Oh, I still haven't seen it. No.
Yeah. We haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number nine, Under the Shadow, which I've seen and you haven't.
Nope. I have not.
That's good.
Okay. Trust me on this one.
Yep. Number 10, Annihilation.
Yeah, no, Annihilation's great.
Yep, great movie. Yeah,
just great from beginning to end.
Number 11, Cloverfield Lane.
Wait, 10 Cloverfield Lane?
It should be 10 Cloverfield
Lane. It's not called Cloverfield Lane.
I know, but I thought it'd be too... Number 11 is 10
Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Honestly, for that purpose alone, you should have left it on there. Yeah. Just make it on 10. Yeah. 10. In fact, don't even have the colon. Like, number 9, colon the movie, and then 10, Cloverfield Lane. Then go back to colons with 11.
Real missed perfect. Opportunity there, Vice.
I think Vice is just toying with us.
Alright, number 12.
I did not. And I just want to say briefly, we talked about it in the show, you can listen to us. I was not a huge fan of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I liked it more than you did.
That is my recollection as well.
Yes. Number 12, Crimson Peak, which nobody liked except me, I think.
No, you talked me into watching it, and I think it's, just a ton of fun.
Okay.
But yeah, it was not a popular movie.
Not at all.
No.
Number 13, Cam.
Which one is Cam? Oh, with the AI takes over for the Cam girl thing? Is that the one?
I haven't seen it. It says here it's about a sex worker whose identity is stolen online.
Yeah. Like, someone else pretending to be her becomes a more successful cam girl, and it's like with her face and everything, and like there's an AI out there. Mm-hmm. Like when people die, when cam girls die, it starts doing their act to keep making money because they can work 24 hours a day.
Right.
And so it gets confused and thinks she's dead. And so it takes over her life and it becomes a whole thing.
Okay. Well, haven't seen it.
It's not great. Anyway.
Well, apparently Vice seems to think so.
I'm sure Vice does. They're wrong. Keep going.
Okay, well, the next one is Mandy.
No!
So, yeah.
Oh, we did a whole show on this where it's like, no.
How much we didn't like this movie.
We were not fans of Mandy. Oh, God. And yet we were still kind of impressed by Under the Black Rainbow, though, which is probably not going to be on this list. Actually, it might have been the previous decade. It might have been 2009.
I don't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Number 15 is Halloween.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not a great
movie. Which I have not seen.
Yeah, I'm amazed that you've still managed to not see it.
I really no effort on my part, I'll be honest.
But I feel like just given our feelings about Halloween generally, you would have accidentally seen it by now.
No, because it's not on Netflix and it's not on Prime.
That's true.
And I don't have Shudder. I don't know if it's on Shudder.
Probably.
So I'd have to put in work to see it.
You're just not willing to do that.
I am not.
No, I respect
Which is weird because I put in work for things that I'm sure are way worse than Halloween. Oh,
absolutely. But no. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Number 16, Hereditary.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get back into this
fight. We famously don't like this movie.
We're the only people who don't like Hereditary. There. Let's move on.
Number 17, Get Out.
Oh, I love Get Out.
Movie.
Yeah, great movie. Oh, is he gonna have two on the list this year? That would be great.
Well, I don't gotta wait to find out.
Okay.
Number 18, It.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, yes.
No, it doesn't belong on a best of list. I mean, you want to talk about most money making, sure. Like, it has the list all to itself, but no.
Well, I think I'm beginning to understand. These are just movies that were in theaters.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they're leaving off like, what was the wonderful one about the deaf lady and then, John?
Hush.
What's his name? Junior Hush. Oh, I love that movie.
Great movie.
Yes, such a good movie. But yeah, no theatrical release. Hey, by the way, if there's one, you know what, I can't believe we didn't mention this when we were reviewing It too, but like least believable thing in that entire movie. What is Peter Bogdanovich doing directing a sleazy horror movie? When they cameoed for the Hollywood scene at the beginning, the guy directing it is Peter Bogdanovich. Like, you know, 78-year-old, film historian who makes much more work acting than he does directing, was the one directing the sleazy horror movie that fake Stephen King wrote.
Right. I can't answer that question.
No, it's just, I just remembered it now when it came up. Anyway, keep going.
Number 19, Prevenge.
I still haven't seen Prevenge.
No, I liked it. It's good.
Yeah, you liked it. Rob liked it. I should see it soon. Go. Mm-hmm.
Number 20, The Witch, which you hate.
I hate The Witch with a passion.
You're the only one.
No, I literally just me.
Yeah. Number 21, I don't know if this deserves to be higher or lower on this list because I don't understand this numbering system, okay. But it's Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, Cabin in the Woods. I assume they mean these are getting better. You wouldn't start with the best one. And yeah, it deserves to be closer to the top.
A lot of people start with the best one because they don't understand how a countdown list works.
Actually, yeah, some people do that. Well, you're right. Whichever way they mean it, this is in the top five, obviously, of horror movies of that decade.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So whether this should be in 26 to 30 or 1 to 5, it's in the wrong place. I think we can agree on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Number 22, Insidious.
Oh. I mean, I've watched it. I was pretty hard on it when I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And I've watched it again since. And it is, there's a lot of creepy stuff and creepy imagery in Insidious. I don't much like the Insidious cinematic universe that is built up.
Yeah.
But I will say that I understand more now than when I first saw it why people like this movie. Okay. I don't know if I sign off it as being best, but I totally get more now than when I first watch it why people really responded to this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number 23, The Conjuring.
Oh, okay. Well, I literally just said my thoughts on The Conjuring. And how Insidious kicked off this Conjuring cinematic universe. All right. Well, I'm pretty embarrassed now.
All right. Number 24, another film you haven't seen and you totally should, Revenge.
Which one is Revenge? Oh, right. Yes. Yes. No, you're right. I've got to see Revenge.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
I will make it my business to see Revenge this month.
Okay. Number 25, The Purge. Come on.
No. You mean The Purge election year, right?
Yes.
Like that was a typo?
I have to assume so.
Yeah, you must have meant to say The Purge election year, the best Purge movie.
It is definitely the best Purge movie, but I don't think it's one of the best movies of the last decade.
No, but if you want to talk about it as being like ones that were significant for a ton of reasons, mm-hmm. I think The Purge belongs on that list.
I guess.
It's like nakedly political horror in a really rare and interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a stretch to call it the best anything other than the best Purge movie. I agree with that, but still, I think it's worth bringing up.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Number 26, XX, which we weren't really too keen on.
Which one was XX?
That's the anthology.
Oh, I forgot that was its title. Yeah, we weren't keen on that.
Yeah.
As with most of the anthologies, it was hugely hit and miss mm-hmm. with only like one or two fun segments.
Yeah.
Go.
Number 27, The Love Witch.
I did not see The Love Witch.
Neither. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
So we can't really talk about that.
We can't weigh in on that one.
Number 28, Hush.
Oh, it did make the list. So it's not theatrical only. Oh, Hush is so good. Yeah, they're pretty much all theatrical. Oh, no, wait. XX wasn't theatrical, was it?
No, I played it festivals. I don't know why that word just completely...
why that word escaped you suddenly?
It really did.
That happens. No one's judging you. But yes, no, Hush is fantastic. Like, if you haven't seen Hush, make your way to your Netflix right now and watch Hush. It's so good.
So good. Yes.
Yes.
And I would also add The Pact. I think that was in the last 10 years.
Yeah, the first one?
Watching
the first Pact movie was really, really fun.
Really good.
The second one, not so much, but that first one was great.
Yeah. Okay, we got two left. Number 29, Tigers Are Not Afraid.
I have never heard of this movie.
I've heard of this. I don't know anything about it.
Okay. I was worried I was completely out of the loop, but you hadn't heard of it either, so I'm good.
All right, number 30. Can you guess what it is?
I honestly can't. What is it?
Us.
Of course it's Us. He did get his two slots.
Yay.
I was worried he wouldn't. Yeah, Us is great. I don't know if it's as good as, I don't know if it's better than Get Out, but it's fantastic. And we loved Us.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you can listen to our show about it. We loved Us. We talked about that thing for ages, and it is amazing. Mm-hmm. Such a good movie. So, yeah. All right, I gotta say, this list was really, really solid.
It was, but also, like, not anything from closer to the beginning. Like, I think 2013 is the oldest.
Wait, when was the first Purge movie? Was that 2013?
Oh, hold on. Now I got to find it again.
Sorry. But yeah, it's like, I think Purge
Oh, sorry. No,
Insidious
is 2010.
Oh, no, wait. Cabin in the Woods, like 2012, isn't it? 2011. No, okay, so there was,
okay, so
there
wrong.
Was early stuff. Yeah. There early was plenty stuff. Early stuff. And yeah. I guess, Tucker and Dale versus Evil was 2009, cause.
Or this person hasn't seen it.
Oh God, that's a shame. I'm always sad when I hear that someone hasn't heard Tucker and Dale, seen
so
Tucker
great.
And Dale versus Evil. Such so an amazing great. Movie. All right. So yeah, I gotta say, I didn't know what to expect from, Vice, but yeah, thumbs up on their list. Way to go, Vice. I mean, there's some stuff here we disagree with, but by and large, they hit all of the greats. So yay! Congrats. Elations. It makes me wonder though, do you think we're going to be able to have another list like this at the end of the next decade? Or do you think people are going to keep making horror movies?
They are still making horror movies, and a possible contender is this week's upcoming horror movie titled Underwater.
Ooh, tell me more. Is it about sharks?
I think it's monsters.
Oh, okay.
A crew of underwater researchers must scramble to safety after an earthquake devastates their subterranean.
Nope. That's
laboratory.
Not the word they meant.
Unless it's under the bottom of the ocean.
That could be it, yeah.
So then it is subterranean, but it's also.
Yeah, submarine.
Submarine.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Kristen Stewart is in it.
Way to go, Kristen Stewart.
So I guess we can assume she'll survive the horror. What?
I don't know for sure. And they've had some challenging movies.
Oh my god, it comes out on my birthday.
Okay, well, I think we
in
might be
theaters.
Going
to
see that.
Oh, well, obviously for my theaters. Birthday.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, it could be VOD.
It could be, but Kristen Stewart, she's still a name, or at least a name adjacent. Yeah, people still care about what she does. Not enough to see a new Charlie's Angels movie, but generally they care enough.
So all right, sorry for that's her, what I want for my birthday. Out. We're going to go see this movie.
All right, we're going to see it. I'm getting you a ticket, done and done.
Oh, it's PG-13.
Oh, it'll still be fun. It'll still be fun.
I guess so.
All right, we're doing this. If it sounds weird that we're planning for this, it's literally in
it's
one
next
week.
Week.
Yeah, so like, we're not planning this crazy far in advance. So expect to hear from us talking about this movie in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll talk about Deep Star 6 at the same time.
We've already done Deep Star 6.
I know, I just love Deep Star 6.
I know, it's so great. Great movie.
They're both great movies. All right. So weird that each of them had a star of RoboCop in it. One of my big takeaways from that warring monster
underwater,
water, underwater monster movies. Both of them featured one of the stars of RoboCop. But yes, that does sound awesome, and we're definitely going to do that. All right. We did actually watch some movies this week to talk about, so I think we should get started.
Yeah. Oh, we did not talk about which order we wanted to go in.
I don't know that it matters, though.
I suppose not.
No, considering the movies.
So, okay. Well,
let's go with the one about the people who get killed in the woods while looking for footage of monsters.
Oh, perfect. Let's do that.
Okay. All right.
So our first movie tonight is Hoax. I had to work on my pronunciation, apparently, because you don't understand me.
No, it had nothing to do with pronunciation. It's literally just I was on a bad phone.
After five campers go missing, a TV producer and his crew head into the woods to find out what happened to them, which is code for hunting down Bigfoot. This is not a found footage movie.
No.
And it should be.
It really feels like it should have been a found footage movie.
Yes.
Everything about this screams, this is a found footage premise. But no, they went another way with it.
Well, I talked about this on upcoming horror movies a while ago. Which is why we watched it. Also, it kind of pairs with the other movie we watched.
Neatly. I mean, I think fairly neatly.
And back then, there was some speculation as to what exactly is the hoax.
Yeah.
So.
And I've watched the movie, and I still don't know what the hoax was.
Right? What's the hoax? Okay, we're going to ruin this. It's impossible to talk about.
We're going to completely spoil this movie starting now.
And I don't know if it's necessary. Like, is it worth telling people to go watch this?
Well, it's a very frustrating movie in a ton of ways.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. With the title and with the crazy stuff that happens, it's leading you to expect a very different ending than you get.
Yes.
Like, it's suggesting that a thing is going on that is not going on.
Yes.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. Also because it's not just the title, there are things that happen in the movie.
Yes, that also suggest.
That also suggest, it creates certain expectations that aren't met.
That is the nicest way to say it. I will say this, it features, like, just if you're a horror nerd, and a genre nerd, Adrian Barbeau's in it. It's got Ben Browder from, I want to say, Farscape, right? Like, it's got Brian Thompson in it. So it's like they've gone to the trouble of getting some genre stalwarts that people like to see. There is a very cute opening sequence that is an extended tribute to Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
It's not a good scene, but just the fact that they used a ton of, they took a ton of actual dialogue from Friday the 13th movies and just had the characters say it. Mm-hmm. Just as a nerd for that kind of stuff, I liked seeing it.
Even and a guy's a shirt that says Loomis on the back.
Yeah, that was, there's a lot of horror nerd stuff in it. So it was clearly, whether or not they're good at their jobs, these are clearly legit horror nerds who made this movie. So if you just want to support horror nerds generally, give it a watch on Netflix. According to Netflix's own algorithm, you only have to watch the first 3 minutes of a movie for it to count as you watching that movie. If you want to turn it off after that and it starts disappointing you, you will have our encouragement to do so.
Okay, so, hoax.
Yes.
There both is and isn't a Bigfoot.
In the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know how to explain this. So there is a Bigfoot out there running around.
Eating people.
Eating people, maybe. Because there are also a bunch of, killbillies who dress up as Bigfoot.
Three killbillies who dress up as Bigfoot.
No, only two of them dress up as Bigfoot.
Oh, you're right. Only two of them dress up
only
as Bigfoot.
And they also run around the woods and kill people.
Kill people, yes.
So it's
and if you're wondering, is this needlessly muddled? Yes, it is needlessly muddled.
So it's a little unclear which Bigfoot is responsible for which deaths.
I mean, I think we get a pretty okay sense. But you're right, it's not great.
It's not great. They kill a dog, which is really upsetting.
Yeah, I'm never happy about that.
Such a good doggy.
Such a good doggy.
I really love bulldogs.
No, they're cute.
Any kind of bulldog.
No, bulldogs are amazing, I agree.
So these kids go missing on their camping trip, which is erroneously referred to as a hiking expedition at the beginning of the movie.
Like, no, they're just going camping to get drunk in the woods. It's fine.
Also, I know I harp on this all the time, and this is no exception. Whoever is in charge of, the camping part of the production has never fucking been camping in their lives. Because those tents are for car camping. And nobody is dressed to go hiking or climbing.
Yeah. So you're saying that, like, literally, if they're using those tents, then 100% their car was 10 feet that way.
Absolutely. Yes. 1,000%. Those tents
no
are
one is
so schlepping.
Heavy. No one is schlepping that big of a tent up into the woods.
Exactly.
Those are some pretty nice tents. I'm not going to do
that. They are. They're great tents. Great for car camping.
Yeah.
But not for a week-long hike in the woods.
No.
Okay, so my rant is over.
Please.
So they disappear, eaten by Bigfoot or possibly killbillies. It doesn't matter who. And then not the whole world, but all of Colorado is kind of obsessed with the story of what happened to the hikers. And then this opportunistic, very sleazy producer convinces his boss to let him go into the woods with a crew and find out what happened to the kids.
Yeah.
So he assembles his little team. We'll get to that in a minute. And schleps off into the woods. And it's made very clear to the audience that this producer is up to something.
Oh, yeah.
And that he is going to be faking Bigfoot encounters in the woods.
Yes.
For his TV show.
Because he full-on guarantees footage.
Yeah. And he like has, he like whispers to people about going, like, make sure this is ready to go, like that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, he's constantly doing a little sotto voce. Remember this part of the plan.
Yeah, but then that doesn't pan out. He doesn't fake shit.
Nope. That never actually becomes a part of the plot. Even though the movie is called Hoax.
Hoax. So I guess the hoax is the Killbillies, and they don't know there's a real Bigfoot out there?
Maybe. I guess, yeah. I guess
that has to be the hoax.
Yeah, and it's very puzzling, because when we get to the Killbillies, I'm like, I don't understand
who the Killbillies killed. But it's not like there's stories in town about a Bigfoot up in the hills. Because it's not like people aren't flocking to this part of the Rockies in hopes of capturing footage of Bigfoot. It's not a thing that exists in this world, that there's all rumors of Bigfoot, and it's really just these Killbillies running around in ghillie suits.
And especially when later on it turns out, like, they've killed enough people that they've just got, like, a bunch of cars lying around.
Right?
Like, if a bunch of people were getting killed on the reg in these woods, I feel like we would have heard about it.
Or, like, if you're creating, like, you want to run around in the woods and kill people, that's great. Even better if you can establish this great Bigfoot rumor so that you can get away with killing people in the woods. It's all just a smokescreen so that you can kill people in the woods. Yeah. And that is not what's happening, because they're not really going to the effort to perpetuate a myth of Bigfoot.
No, and it's weird because they dress up as Bigfoot and kill people. But my point is, well, why are you bothering to dress up as
to
Bigfoot?
To even do that, right? Because
you're just here to kill people.
You're just here to kill people, and you're not sophisticated enough to create a big hoax to attract more victims.
That, again, would be a decent thing for serial killers like this to do, is, like, create a Bigfoot hoax to convince, you know, unequipped people to wander off into the woods. And then you're like, boom, I'll Killbilly them, and everyone will say Bigfoot did it. Exactly. As long as I don't also steal their car, which Bigfoot is not known for doing. Because again, they got a bunch of cars lying around.
Why? Yeah, it's a wrong turn.
Yeah, it's a very, oh, it gets extremely wrong turn.
Yeah,
oh,
it sure does. But way sleazier.
Oh my God, so much sleazier. Yeah. Creepy and sleazy and hard to watch, so. Yeah. They have a wrong turn scene that goes on and on to the point where it's like, you can tell they want this to be their Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, even to the point where he slams the door shut like Leatherface.
I know. And you're like, I get that you're horror nerds, but come on. You're not making it, guys. You're just not getting there.
Yeah.
And that was too bad. But yeah, so frustrating because you got Ben Browder shooting people and going completely nuts and, earlier, because what happened was they got dropped off via helicopter.
Right? Oh god. Yes.
Which is just crazy.
So they take a fucking helicopter up the mountain.
Yeah.
And then only after they land the helicopter, it's like, oh yeah, Billy set up camp. He went up there in the ATV, but they made a point of saying early in the movie, you can't drive to the campsite, which is why I need a helicopter. It's like, what? None of that is true.
And the craziest part is, like, later we see the camp on this great big beach, and I'm like, you know, you could just land the helicopter there.
Right? Why did you?
Like, that's fine. There's plenty of space. You could have landed the helicopter, unloaded everything, and sent the helicopter home. But for the plot, they want the helicopter to be nearby?
Far enough away that it's a schlep to get there.
Yes, but they phone him to be rescued. I'm just like, so that later the Killbillies can murder the helicopter guy stranding them. But, you know,
you just had the helicopter leave.
Yeah, you just have the helicopter leave, and he will be back in 7 days, or he'll call you on the sat phone, or you'll call him on the sat phone if you need pickup
earlier.
Exactly,
and this way you spare a life, by which I mean the dog.
I know. No, but not just spare the dog's life, it also cleans up the story elements, because you don't have to have this ridiculous nonsense about, oh, well, it's this one place we couldn't get to, and blah, 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 blah. Like, that just doesn't pay off at all, and is just not believable. Mm-hmm. It's such a frustrating movie.
It is, for so many reasons, because at one point a character breaks her leg, and we're talking compound fracture.
Yeah.
I'm assuming is the tibia.
Ooh,
I'm like,
it's a nasty look.
Oh, it's awful. Like, that's a serious break.
Yeah.
And they're like, we gotta get her off the mountain. We gotta get her to the helicopter. And the producer's like, no, I want to stick around for a while because I'm in the middle of trying to hoax this Bigfoot encounter that I'm not actually in any way whatsoever.
Like, I know. He's being suspicious for no, and it's like no one, and here's the thing, right? If she, and this is, them not understanding the scale of what they're dealing with, just as the producers, because the kind of injuries she has, like, you have to get to medical professionals as quickly as possible because there is a not insignificant chance that you will end up with a blood clot.
Yeah.
And a bad one killing you if you have that kind of open fracture and don't have it treated immediately.
Serious risk of infection because you're in fucking woods with a giant hole in your leg and the bone sticking out.
Yeah, you cannot wait around a day or two while Ben Browder gets his footage. That is just not a thing in this situation.
Also, there are so many people and she's the most useless of the lot. Just send her home in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Because the helicopter pilot is still alive at this point.
No, there's no point in that. Like, at that point of the film, there's no justification for him refusing to just send her home.
Right.
She's not contributing to your help. You're not saying cancel the whole thing.
Yeah. Just get rid of her.
Get rid of the dead weight that literally might wind up being dead weight. And by the way, you're going to jail if she dies.
Yes.
Yeah. That part of it made no sense.
Oh,
also,
my God.
Like, and this is why I was sure it was a hoax on his part or he was a murderer or something. Because
well, he does turn out to be a murderer.
Well, he does go nuts and kills her. Yeah, he kills a bunch of people because he just goes nuts. But he wasn't a murderer at that point, right? And the reason I thought he had to be in on it is because they find a cave full of...
strung with intestines.
That is just the intestines of all of the missing campers. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, yep, I guess that's a thing. Like,
and
no,
I, like,
you have found all the evidence,
setup.
Like, whether it's a serial killer or whether it's a Bigfoot, no animal would do that. You have successfully found all the evidence you need.
And they don't film it. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. To, like, win an award and get the federal, like, all of the state cops involved. Hmm. Right? And it's like, you found more evidence than anyone has ever found. And yes, if it disappointingly turned out to be just killbillies, you wouldn't have as good a documentary, but you'd still want to have one hell of a documentary.
Right.
So it's like, I don't understand why the characters aren't, the minute they find the giant cave full of entrails, they're like, well, we're done.
Yep.
What more can we possibly accomplish?
That's a wrap on Bigfoot, everyone.
We did our job. We found Bigfoot's Smokehouse. Let's go home.
Oh, great name for a barbecue restaurant.
Bigfoot Smokehouse? I will try to remember that. So
write that one down.
Bigfoot's Smokehouse.
Bigfoot's Smokehouse.
I am writing that down. I just feel like he would really know what kind of wood, you know, has the best flavor. Dumbest thing I've ever said. Thank you for laughing. But anyway, Bigfoot Smokehouse. It's crazy. Like, and I don't understand why the characters continue anything after that moment. Cause it's like, your job is done. You have found evidence of either Bigfoot's hut or a mass murder. Either way, that's all you needed to find.
Yeah.
But like, you have to move that to much later in the movie when they can't leave.
Well, they've already, one of their numbers disappeared when they find Bigfoot Smokehouse.
That's true.
Because they have,
like, are these his entrails?
Yeah, they have a cryptozoologist that they just make merciless fun of. That's not nice.
No, it's very cruel. And then he mysteriously disappears.
Yeah.
And nobody is concerned. I mean, they're concerned, but they don't do anything about it.
No, they don't. They don't do anything about anything.
It's true. They're very lackadaisical.
I'm not entirely sure why the judge from Buffy is even in this movie, because he says he's babysitting and seems to be security for the blonde journalist.
Yeah, the blonde
journalist.
The TV personality.
But there's no, why? He's not the guide. He's just,
no.
This
he's just a guy with a rifle who's there in case she has any trouble.
But
yeah.
She does have trouble and he doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Like, no, again, call an audible. Get this lady out of here. She's in really bad shape.
Yeah. Ugh. And then he just hands out guns later on.
I know. Here, have a bunch of guns. Okay.
Also, I think the filmmakers really like ghost hunting shows because they have a thermal imaging camera, which they erroneously refer to as FLIR.
Which is a different thing?
Which is a different thing. That's forward-looking infrared. And okay. FLIR is black and white, and they clearly have a thermal imaging thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't. You're right. Black, because, okay. The moment you said video games, I suddenly, sorry, FLIR, I knew from video games the difference between those two.
And ghost hunting shows always talk about FLIR, and it's always thermal imaging.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It's really aggravating.
Thermal imaging is predator vision, and FLIR is where it's all black and white, and you get the glowing white people.
Yes, that's FLIR.
Oh, that's FLIR. Okay. Yes. Again, I only know this stuff from video games, but thank you.
No problem. So, again, it's like, okay, I can see your influences. You haven't actually done the work here.
Although, in their defense, neither do the ghost hunting shows. So.
This is true. But why are you taking your cues from a ghost hunting show?
I know, right? Oh, God. Because, yeah, later on, he gets the ghillie suits, of course, don't prevent them from being seen on FLIR.
Yeah.
Infrared.
No.
Heat vision. I'll get there eventually.
When they explain it first, like, oh, we're using FLIR, and, you know, a body will show up red. I'm like, oh, that is not what infrared is, and that is not how it works. And then you actually see the predator vision camera. I'm like, oh.
That's what they
meant. I get it.
Okay. It's just such a frustrating movie because, like...
Also, they don't know what a primatologist is.
No?
Well, she's a primatologist, but she also happens to be a medical doctor.
It's weird that she's also a medical doctor, right?
So, is she a vet?
Well, because she's working with monkeys, so maybe?
So, but again, not... a primatologist.
Maybe she's both. Maybe she's a veterinarian and a primatologist.
No.
Okay. Apparently, that's not a thing.
Not really.
Kind of silly
that
for me to ask.
So much school. She is, I think, too young to be both.
Okay. Well, because yeah, a vet is you got to do a lot of doctoring to be a vet. That's true.
Even as a vet, like, maybe she would understand what to do with a compound fracture, even as a vet, you don't go to medical school, veterinary school.
Yeah, which is a different kind of doctor. I mean, it's a lot of doctor training, but it's a completely different than human doctor training.
But again, not what primatologists do. Just gonna point that out.
She has whatever job the movie needs her to in the moment.
Yes.
Whatever skill set the film requires.
Mary Sue.
Oh.
Well, it's true.
I'm not denying it. I'm just sad for her. This movie's a mess. And the fact that it was made by horror nerds doesn't make it less of a mess. Like, it is just, you don't know what these guys were thinking. Mm-hmm. Time and again, you're just like, you're making every mistake here, guys. All of them. And it really ticks me off. Especially because you get to the ending. And it has the weirdest thing. So like, our doctor lady friend has just, scalded an old lady with boiling water and then beat a man's head and clubbed her with a frying pan and then beat a man's head in. And then she hops into a car and she starts to drive it off and she runs over the remaining killbilly.
Yep.
And then she, you know, runs into a tree because she's incompetent.
Yeah, immediately drives in.
Just straight into a tree.
I don't even understand how you managed to do that.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And so then OnStar is like, hey, can we help you? What's going on there? And then she's like, oh, I was in a car accident. And then like the old lady comes and grabs her and starts yelling at her. And I'm like, and then they cut away and never cut back to her.
Yeah, because that's pretty much the end of the movie.
No, because literally what happens then, and first off, I don't really, like, yeah, she was just in a car accident, But that woman was just scalded and given a concussion with a cast iron skillet.
Yeah, she's not attacking anyone.
Yeah, I'm putting my money on the lady who was in the car accident over the lady who just had her head smashed in and has been blinded by scalding water. And she doesn't even have a knife or anything. She's just,
No, she breaks the window and attacks
The window's already broken from the car accident. She literally just reaches in.
Oh, I thought she broke the window.
No, she just reaches in.
Which you can't do with your bare hands. So, okay.
No, yeah, exactly. Oh, so she just reached in through the broken window, or the window might not have been rolled up. But the point is, then, so it's like, I'm pretty sure she's fine, but we cut away from her and don't find out what happened there.
Because we're meant immediately to cut over to dead.
Maybe.
No, definitely. Cause that's how horror movies end, remember? Yeah.
I know, right? But it's like, it makes no sense that she would be dead, and then we immediately cut over to Ben Browder, and he gets killed by a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And then that the movie just stops.
Yes.
It's so frustrating. Oh god, it's such a frustrating movie. Alright, so that was Hoax. Sorry we spoiled the whole thing, but we didn't like it.
Alright, let's move on to our second movie tonight. Cold Ground.
Ooh.
40 years after a group of journalists and scientists go missing, the cops release the journalist's footage. This is a found footage movie.
Now, you've heard me, talk some crap about the Blair Witch Project in the past.
I have?
A little bit.
Maybe once or twice.
Once or twice. But I will say this. Like, there's a lot of stuff that the Blair Witch Project pulls off. Mm-hmm. Like, that a lot of mood establishing and creating and like this, this really, gathering dread. That gets worse and worse and worse the longer they're out there in the woods. Like, there's stuff that it does that I respect.
Yes.
Whether or not I think it's overall a great movie. There are stuff that that movie does that I genuinely respect. And I think it's, you know, the sign that really smart people were working on. And I think this movie is a perfectly good example of why it's, like, why it's so hard to get that right.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't think this film achieves at all what the Blair Witch Project did.
No, I think the idea is that you could just film a bunch of people wandering around in the woods and
call it a day, basically.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because this movie, I mean, this is the problem with all found footage movies, more or less, is that there's this assumption that you need all this buildup where just it's normal stuff happening and then things start to go sideways and then all of a sudden monsters attack. It's like, that's not really a great way to tell a story.
It's not.
This sense, like, it doesn't really work for found footage because you just end up with people traipsing through the woods and it's really boring.
Yeah, with no incident. And that's, I guess, structurally why it's so much better. Whether or not you feel some of the tension is, you know, a little on the contrived sense, you watch the Blair Witch Project, and they're like, when they were filming it, they're like, okay, here are the concrete things that are going to go wrong today. Mm-hmm. And they have, even though the larger threat is we're lost in the woods, there are a number of obstacles they come up against, right? And that they argue about and they try to deal with, right? To keep it a dramatic story being gradually told.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen here.
Well, no, here there are like interviews taking place in which, there are two filmmakers or journalists, whatever you want to call them. And then they're with this group of scientists who are going up to this scientific research post. And along the way, the journalists take time to speak to each of the scientists in the group. So you have these sort of like interviews done on the fly. And through these interviews, we just get to learn a bit more about, well, we don't really learn about what they're researching necessarily, but stuff about like potential Yeti.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you can't really call it, but you're not in the right part of the world for Yeti and you're not in the right part of the world for Sasquatch.
No, because they talk about Bigfoot and Yetis in this.
Yeah, so whatever I guess the French-Swiss border. Swiss word would be for some type of...
The French-Swiss equivalent of that, of course, is the werewolf, which is, you know, a big part of French mythology.
No, but though a werewolf and a Bigfoot are not the same thing.
No, but I'm just saying, like, the idea of a monster running around the woods killing people, if you said that in North America, we would say it's probably a Bigfoot. If you said that in France or Germany, they'd see, well, that's definitely a werewolf. A
werewolf, yeah.
Yeah, even though it's the same, they're describing the same phenomenon.
Yeah.
But you're right. They're not the same thing at all. And, but that was, and like, there is, for better or for worse, like, this rich mythology to the Blair Witch. Like, there are scenes explaining what the, like, what the backstory is, what people, why people in the neighborhood are scared of it. You know, it's like, what it means to this town, what it means to this area. There's the Rustin Parr story. Like, there's all this backstory stuff that we hear before the scare is starting, so we have it in our head what could possibly be happening.
Yeah.
Like, we're, our imaginations are involved in the storytelling because we've got some sense of the stakes. Here, there's just nothing.
No, we get some stories about mutilated cows, a mutilated horse. They find some guts that it's just like, it's a, I don't know what I'm looking at here. It's just red gore on the ground. And then they tell a story about, I guess the mutilated horse or whatever. They just, and it's like, and it's happened in the States. So it's completely disconnected.
Completely irrelevant. The story of cattle mutilations. Yeah.
Yeah. To what they're investigating in the Alps. And then they have this, there's this thing about their research station and it's in this area they called Cold Ground because it's always colder there and they don't understand what that's about. I'm like, okay, let's focus on this mystery.
Yep.
And how that might be connected to the monsters and who gives a shit about cattle mutilations in Utah? Like,
I know. Well, and at one point they find a torn out human jawbone.
Yes. And again, and I needed the movie to point it out to me because I didn't know what I was looking at.
You couldn't tell. You knew,
and this
you have to have them
time
say.
And again. It's just a pile of guts. And at one point they freak right the fuck out about something. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
I can't
is.
Tell what I'm looking at. Yeah. And you can say, well, that did happen in the Blair Witch Project. But no, it was much smarter because we don't need to see what's in the bag of gore. Because we know a guy's missing. Josh is missing. Is it Josh is missing?
Josh goes missing.
Yeah, Josh goes. We know Josh is missing, and they find his teeth, and the bag of gore is wrapped up in a piece of Josh's shirt. Mm-hmm. So whatever that bag of gore is, we understand the stakes.
Yes.
Whereas here, it's a pile of red. Okay.
Okay, but like we're heading. We don't know at this point that the research station has been destroyed.
Yeah. Exactly. So what are the stakes?
Right? Yes.
Yeah, and the film makes that problem, gets that wrong over and over and over
again. Also, something else the film gets wrong. Before they head out on their little expedition.
Yeah.
They make a point of saying it takes an hour to get there by Jeep. All the Jeeps at the research station. It's going to take us 3 days to walk through the woods. It's like, why don't you just follow the road?
Yeah.
But they never, and then there's some comment about, oh, this is a safer route. I'm like, I don't know if that's true.
That's literally impossible. It is not possible for there to be a route that is safer than a road that a Jeep can go down. That's just not it.
It's like, you are wasting so much time with your ridiculous path through the woods. You could just walk up. It might take you all day, but it's 1 day is better than three, and you know where you're going, and you're not going to get fucking lost.
They're like, oh, there was an avalanche. Now we have to follow the creek back down. I'm
the landscape has changed because of the avalanche. I don't know where I am anymore. It's like, well, this wouldn't have happened if we'd been on the road.
Well, and the weird part, worst part is they get to the research station and it's also been destroyed. And it's like, even if there's been an avalanche, like, there's still the remnants of a road leaving up from the top of the thing. There's still where trees have been cleared. Like, unless every tree on the mountain was destroyed by that avalanche, you would still be able to have a sense of where, just based on the width of trees, the road originally was, and you should be able to find it back down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this should not be as hard as you're making it out.
Yes. Also, how they explain frostbite.
Yep.
Not how it works.
I feel like that was really inaccurate.
It is.
And, I mean, maybe, again, if I know nothing about the cold, and you just want to call me a ridiculous person who's being cruel to a dead character. But I feel like this guy's kind of a baby about walking on a broken foot.
First of all, it's not a broken foot. He twisted his ankle.
Sorry, twisted his ankle.
And it can hurt to walk on a... I have twisted my ankle any number of times. I've torn all the ligaments in one of my ankles. And yeah, it hurts to walk on it, but you just tighten your boot. It's all you can do. And you just work with what you just make it work. Get a crutch. There are trees all over
the
place.
There are trees. That's my point. Can't he just make a crutch?
Yeah.
Like, cause you're saying it hurts too much to walk on my my twisted ankle. I choose to freeze to death.
Well, no, because he also, so he like twists his ankle, but then like a twisted ankle and frostbite are not related to each other.
No, they're not.
But he gets frostbite, I guess, on his broken foot. And then he's like, oh, you have to cut my foot off. If you love me, it's what you'll do because it's creeping up my leg. And I'm like, oh my God, not how that works.
No, even I know that. And I know nothing about cold weather survival because we see his foot. It's not even black.
No, his foot's fine.
His foot is fine.
Get him out of there. Maybe he'll lose some toes when you get back to civilization, but don't chop off his foot.
In the woods. You're chopping up his foot in the woods.
And he dies from it anyway, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, I don't know why you guys are stopping walking ever.
Yeah.
Cause they find a creek at one point. I'm like, okay, don't sleep. Just keep walking along that creek until you get somewhere. Figure it out. Oh, yeah. We'll go again in the morning. You can still hear the creek. You can still see the creek.
Yeah.
Just keep following it.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's not a good movie is, I guess, the point we're getting at.
No. And then these creatures, we never get a good look at them. We don't know what they are. I have to assume it's some kind of werewolf thing.
Yeah. I mean, it lives in a cave.
It's got pointy ears.
I think.
But it's a pack.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them, so you're right. They probably are wolfen, to use the term from that book.
But the werewolf only comes up once in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right, it did see pointed ears, and they do hunt in a pack, so it's much more likely to be wolf-related than it is to be yeti-related.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's either way, it's super unsatisfying.
Also, weirdly, so they make a point of saying, oh, we've got one of these new cameras that records sound, so we don't need cumbersome sound equipment. And it's like, okay, that's great. Like, fine, whatever. I believe you. Your camera records sound. But at one point, they have two cameras.
I know.
And like, is that a mistake? Because I'm pretty sure like you're only supposed to have one.
It's 100% a mistake. It is 100%. They just were editing the film and they needed a different shot for later in that scene for whatever reason. They're just like, oh, nobody will notice.
Except that it's right there.
No, I noticed.
Center frame.
You noticed. But yeah.
A second camera.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense that they suddenly had two cameras.
And also some singularly terrible ADR at the beginning of the movie.
Well, something I did like.
And I guess a scene that only exists to show us a partially naked lady.
Yes. Literally the only reason that scene's in the movie. And people say movies aren't sleazy anymore. You're just not watching direct-to-video movies.
You're not watching the right movies, exactly.
Exactly. That's what direct-to-video is for. Sleazy movies. But yeah, it's funny because in the beginning of the movie, there's this moment where I'm like, not the beginning. In the middle of the movie, there's this thing where it's like, oh, people are going to wonder about our recording logic. Let's have them talk about how many batteries they have to schlep around everywhere.
Oh, they got loads of batteries. And the light on the camera only works if it's running.
I know.
Fine, whatever. I don't care.
It's good enough. It's good enough. Just keep going. You don't need to keep explaining this at me. So yeah, overall, it's not a very good movie. And it's just, it's frustrating because like, they don't do the basic work to make it, you know, effective in the ways that the Blair Witch Project were. And it's like, just, it's kind of sad because this is a movie from 2017. Like we are literally 18 years past the Blair Witch Project and you got a team like this just aping the Blair Witch Project to no real effect.
But it's not like, even it's that, because, sad to me. Because here's the thing about the Blair Witch Project. It's half a found footage movie and half a mockumentary.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason of why it works as well as it does.
That's true.
Because the filmmakers really, really understood documentary filmmaking, and then they had this sort of guerrilla type filmmaking that they were, I guess, kind of figuring out as they went along.
Yeah.
But they put the care and the time into it. And I guess maybe fundamentally understood stuff that later filmmakers have failed to grasp.
Yeah.
And even if you're making a found footage movie, treat it like a documentary.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and I said it before, but I'll say it again. It's like, you've got to build the world. You've got to build the context for what's happening. You've got to build the characters. Like, you've really got to get us on board for the story we're being told if you want us to put up with this, you know, oftentimes unpleasant filming style. You know, and they think that the filming style itself is a shortcut to legitimacy. And they're like, well, you know, we can really half-ass parts X, Y, and Z because the filmmaking, like the shaking camera, makes it look real. And I feel like that's what they make it think. But it's like, we can count on, you know, one or two hands the amount of times that people have actually managed to get anything right in the 20 years since the Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And it's like, I mean, there's stuff we like in The Evidence. Well, there's a shot we like in The Evidence. In Evidence. Right? There's Josh Stewart's movie, which we really loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, few and far between is anyone, you know, putting in the work and getting this stuff right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another example. It's like, this film's only hook is, well, our twist is, we put a filter on it to make it look like old-timey film.
Yes.
Like, that's the whole hook here. That's all they've got going for this. And that's not enough to, you know, load a whole movie onto. That one gimmick, you can't build a whole movie around that one gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, very disappointing. Hopefully people will up their found footage game in the next 20 years since the Blair Witch Project. Oh. I don't know if I should get my hopes up for that.
Probably not.
All right, that's going to be that. Before we go, do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
I know I've said this before, but I actually mean it this time. We will have new episodes of Tricks and Dicks and True North Crime for you in the new year, which is now. So,
in the now time.
In the now time.
In the here ago. That's great. For me, every single episode of Criminal Minds that has been on television yet has now successfully been reviewed and is all posted to Vargelon.com. All 14 seasons. That was a lot. I know. you think it was tough to make 320 episodes of television? Try reviewing 320 episodes of television.
That's the real work.
Well, considering that I'm fixing their scripts while writing the reviews, I'm clearly doing more work than they did. And I will say this, the thing that blew me away is, and I'd recommend anyone, it's weird because I want to recommend an episode, right? But I don't know, like, I don't think the episode would make sense without context, but I don't want to force you to watch the entire 13th season of Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember the last episode of Criminal Minds you watched, False Flag?
Is that the last episode I watched?
You might not have, well, you never told me about an episode after.
It's definitely so the last one I remember.
There you go. But the point is, that started a season-long arc where they all get fired and blah, 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 blah. It's a very dumb series of events. I'm not going to go into it, but it results in them doing the episode where they all get back together, and half of the episode is like zany comedy asides.
Oh.
And it's like little vignettes about what they're off doing while this is happening. And it's like, it's the closest they've ever come to doing a comedy episode. And weirdly, Adam Rodriguez directed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did working for 7 years on CSI get him to a point where he's like, I can't take anything seriously anymore. So now when I get to direct an episode of Criminal Minds, I'm just going to show what a ridiculous show this is.
Maybe.
And it kind of feels like that's what's happening. So, anyway, check out my reviews. They're available at Vargelon.com, and Profiling Criminal Minds, the podcast, can be found on all podcast clients. Is there any way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about your thoughts on the evolution of found footage filmmaking. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you're listening on an app, do rate and review.
It does help people find the podcast, as I understand it. So until next time, I just want to say, I've been Count Fargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.